B-Pod Studios.
This. Have you seen his Instagram?
They need
this Felger and Mass.
They don't use crack enough.
On 98.5.
Yeah, not really.
The Sports Hub.
All right, 4:04 in the afternoon here, Felger and Mass. Robert Kraft, the latest. New York Times, Robert Kraft ramps up his defense. The story posted today, a little more than a week after prosecutors in Florida charged Robert K. Kraft. K stands for what?
No idea.
No.
Ken.
I believe Robert Kenneth Kraft.
RKK.
Ah.
Robert Kenneth Kraft. A little more than a week after prosecutors in Florida charged Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, with soliciting prostitution, what ordinarily would be a minor case has become a legal battle involving some of the most expensive and sought-after lawyers in the country. Shocker. Shocker. Really. Did you think? I was stupid me for holding out some hope. But the group that gave you the Wells report in context and that nonsense has now lawyered up to the point where the case now involves some of the most expensive and sought-after lawyers in the country. This is for a misdemeanor in which if he just pleads no contest and accepts responsibility, the charges will be dismissed and the case will be stricken from the record. Instead, he has now hired some of the most expensive and sought-after lawyers in the country. To lead his defense, Mr. Kraft, God bless the New York Times, second paragraph, third sentence, to lead his defense, Mr. Kraft, a billionaire friend of President Trump, and one of the most powerful owners in the NFL, has retained William A. Burke, who was a lawyer in the George W. Bush White House and had a role in screening of documents related to Judge Kavanaugh's recent Supreme Court nomination. So a heavy, well, right-wing judge, I don't know, that's the inference you draw there. He was in the Bush White House and had a role in screening documents for Kavanaugh's recent Supreme Court nomination. Mr. Kraft has also hired, and we knew this, Jack Goldberger, the Florida lawyer who defended Jeffrey E. Epstein, a wealthy New York financier accused of trafficking underage girls for sex. A truly bad guy and bad player, a hideous story if you ever want to read up on the Jeffrey Epstein thing. So Kraft has hired the lawyer who represented him and this heavy-hitting D.C. politically influenced lawyer for his misdemeanor case. Before I go on, just a thought there.
They're terrified of have that tape seeing the light of day. That's why he's lawyered up so much. That's what it reeks of to me.
I mean, if you're not bracing for a fight, why do you bring in the heavy artillery?
So what do you imply?
I'm implying that they're bracing for a fight, that they're going to fight this.
But it's just a misdemeanor. It's not. There is no heavy fight to be had with a misdemeanor.
No, but the artillery's heavy.
So,
right, he's going to the big guns here. It feels to me like they're going to fight this thing tooth and nail. Is that what you're getting at?
Well, my worry would be, from the outside, that, well, these are the kind of guys you bring in to fight the feds, to fight felony charges, to fight real heavy legal charges. This is a effing misdemeanor that, again, if he just pleads no contest or accepts responsibility, they drop the charges and strike it from the record.
Yeah.
So, like, that would be... And Kraft has been linked to nothing more than just the solicitation.
Okay.
So
now I see where you're going.
But is there something else coming? Is there something else coming? And is he preparing for that? Because otherwise, this feels like going into a... You know, give me the...
Using a cannon to kill a mosquito.
Thank you.
As the line goes,
okay, that's what that is.
Or whatever
I was looking
is.
For that. This feels like he's overgunned himself by a large degree to fight these poor civil servants at this courthouse in Palm Beach for a misdemeanor in which it's dismissed anyway.
Okay, so the part I'm confused about is: are you suggesting that there's more coming?
I don't know. I wonder. I have no idea.
Okay, see, the way I interpret it is, that there is not some sort of plea deal coming, that they are, you know, they're going hard, even if it is a misdemeanor, they are going hard on this to make sure it never sees the light
of day. Why does he need this Burke guy?
Listen, I'm with you.
The Goldberger is overgunned, but Goldberger, his office, I think, is right down the street in Palm Beach. He handles all those sex cases in Palm Beach County. Like, that's a guy to get if you have a sex crime in Palm Beach. I get it. It's an overkill. It's like, wow, that guy? But still, okay. This Burke? What?
So I'll say the same thing, though, that I said at the beginning. Even when Goldberger, even before that, my opinion's not changing.
Of course not.
He was still there, and it still happened.
And in some cases, I think it even, like, for me, I can only speak personally. I can't speak for you, and as Patriots fans, I know you probably feel differently. For me, it's worse. Like, it's worse. Because I'm usually for the little guy as opposed to the billionaire in the Bentley going up to some seedy day spa and getting caught with a sex act. Like, I'm usually not for that guy. So I'm not a Patriot fan like you. So that's just, I'm coming at it from more of a neutral place. But this guy gets rung up on a misdemeanor for a massage plus, and he responds with the guy who helped represent Brett Kavanaugh for a Supreme Court nomination? What? And who served in the George Bush White House? For a happy ending? Come on. Really? So, like, I just go the other way.
Yeah, but again, so the part I don't get is, how are you surprised by this? Because again,
the Washington lawyer feels, even for a group that lawyers up like the Patriots do, feels a little much.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know. That seems like next level. Anyway, prosecutors in Palm Beach County, Florida, so far have taken a hard line on Mr. Kraft and the two dozen other individuals who have been accused of soliciting prostitution at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa. Last week, they increased the severity of charges from second degree to first degree. Okay, that's not he still gets off if he just pleads no contest or accepts responsibility. It's still not jail time. It's still a diversion program. They'll still drop charges, whether it's first degree or second degree. And they point out here, Mr. Kraft is likely to be in little legal danger. The Times says he is unlikely to spend a day in jail. Prosecutors often offer first-time offenders a chance to pay a fine and perform community service while not admitting fault. And it's ultimately dropped. So the Times says even if they feel they can win their case, most defendants in this sort of situation take the deal rather than augment the shame of being arrested. Mr. Kraft, though, is in a different position. Like many people facing similar charges, he has pled not guilty. But as the owner of a professional football team, he has a strong incentive to try and get the charges dismissed. Then cop to it. The charges get dismissed. That's everything that I've understood. If you admit to it, accept the responsibility, it gets pled out, you enter a diversion program, and the charges are dismissed. He doesn't have to hire the Washington, D.C. lawyer to get the charges dismissed. So then they go into what, you know, his side might do to get out of the case. His lawyers could ask why police waited months to install cameras inside the massage parlor, sort of implying that it was a setup. Okay. That traffic stop, they asked Mr. Kraft for his identification, presumably not the driver. That may have violated his rights. Mr. Kraft's lawyers could also question why police did not get a search warrant earlier if they had suspected sex was being sold inside. And were the cameras merely installed once authorities learned Mr. Kraft was a patron and saw an opportunity to gain publicity? Was it a setup? Was he made a public scapegoat because of that? They also say that if the video captured people getting ordinary massages, lawyers could also argue that the surveillance overreached and therefore the video is inadmissible. There also has to be clear evidence of Mr. Kraft asking to pay for sex. Just showing a video, you don't know the conversation that occurred, said another lawyer that they brought in for analysis in this story. So blah, 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 all that legal stuff that we've already hit on. Meanwhile, on the other side, prosecutors may have a witness who can attest that Mr. Kraft asked for sex. So you don't need the audio on the tape if an employee there says, yeah.
Right.
This is what happens when he comes in here. Yes. In addition, if they enter the video into evidence, it may become public, something that Mr. Kraft would most likely want to avoid. I'd say so. Would not want to see that video. I don't need to see that video.
But I kind of need to see that video.
If the video becomes public or his court case is televised, which is possible in Florida, Mr. Kraft's problems could go from bad to worse. It would increase the pressure on the NFL commissioner, Roger Goodell, to punish Mr. Kraft more severely and potentially diminish his standing in ownership circles. Mr. Kraft's lawyers are likely to fight tooth and nail to ensure that the video never becomes public, opening yet another front in a litigation that under normal circumstances would involve little effort or expense. And then they quote Hugh Culverhouse Jr., who, yes, is the son of the former Tampa Bay Buccaneers owner, but just happens to be a former prosecutor in Florida. Interesting guy. He says if Kraft goes to trial and the judge allows the cameras to be played, it will be on national TV. So you compound the embarrassment. Kraft has a severe downside by going to trial. He can win the trial, but he can still lose. So when the billionaire guy who is obviously doing it lawyers up like this, if I'm that DA in Palm Beach, just my nature too, and a lot of people's nature would be, okay.
Fine, you want to fight? Let's go to court.
Let's go to court. You'll probably win. You'll find something. I mean, Lord knows you've got the best in the world on it. And we're just, you know, civil servants here trying to do our job. And yeah, maybe that traffic stop, you get off on that. Maybe the cameras, you get off on that. I don't know, but let's find out, Robert. Let's go. Let's go to trial. It won't be my first loss. It won't be my last. I got nothing to lose. I make $45,000. You know, I got nothing to lose. Let's go. And so if I'm that prosecutor, let's go. Be sure to bring your Bentley because I know you like to arrive in the Bentley. So let's go. Let's go to trial. We'll submit the tape for the world to see. Let's all be transparent. What happened, what we did right, what we did wrong, what you did. Here's the tape. Here's the trial. The cameras are allowed in the state of Florida, and let's do it.
I mean, if you're a prosecutor and you're in the DA's office at this stage, let's say that you know, Kraft bringing in the big guns here is all meant to scare you, right? To sort of pressure you into a plea deal.
What do these guys in Florida have to lose?
Well, say that's exactly what I was going to say. What do they have to lose?
Even if they screwed up the investigation or screwed up the police work, or
go public with it.
So what? So you beat us on a technicality. I guess that traffic stop wasn't legal. It is legal in some states. It's not here, or we should have asked for both IDs, or what? So you got us on a technicality. Nice tape. I enjoyed you in the film. So apparently we have breaking news.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
As Red Sox spring training continues down in Florida, news of a suspension courtesy of Mark Feinsand.
Hold on.
MLB Network.
Is this a PED suspension?
It is.
Is it a Red Sox player?
It is.
Chavis.
Okay.
Want another guess? Anyone else?
So I want to guess too. Is it a legit 25-man roster Red Sox player?
Yeah.
Okay, so not a minor leaguer, a real guy.
Yeah. Oh, hold on then.
Okay, so so now I don't want to besmirch people. Hold on, let me write it down.
The old Felgerwood. Come on, give a name.
Give a name.
No, so I want to know.
Not fair.
I got to whittle it down a little.
No, it's not fair to me. I don't want to get in trouble.
Pitcher, positional player.
Pitcher.
Okay, thank you. So stop. Write it down. The pitcher.
The people need this breaking news.
Hold on. No, wait a minute.
I'll tell you who I would guess.
Hold on.
Someone coming off an injury.
Okay, I got it. I wrote it down.
It's not Sale.
Write it down. Okay, whatever. Go.
Maz has it. Red Sox pitcher Steven Wright has received an 80-game suspension without pay after testing positive for growth hormone releasing peptide 2, a performance-enhancing substance in violation of MLB's Joint Drug Prevention and Treatment Program.
Felger, what name did you write down?
Brazier.
Ooh, good one.
Good one.
Thank you. How else does a guy come out of nowhere? Was it Japan or something?
Yes. No, that's a good one.
All of a sudden, he's Goose Gossage.
That's a great one.
I guessed Hembree on the talkback mic, and then Jimmy said no, and I said, how about Steven Wright?
So that was the knuckleball sign you gave.
Yeah, the knuckles.
I don't understand what
that makes all the sense in the world. You got a guy who can't break a pane of glass. He's got a bum wheel. He's coming off an injury so he says, screw it. I might as well go HGH.
That's a boring one.
I agree.
The knuckleballer who I didn't even care if he was on the team.
I was hoping for something sexier.
What do you think he was doing? Angry kitty?
Looked like a C to me. He could have been going C. From my angle, it wasn't apparent. You're going
knuckles. No. I was doing knuckles.
Yeah, we can't use that word anymore.
That's not what we were saying.
I have to admit that a couple of positional players crossed my mind.
Oh, yeah.
One had a very prominent performance in the American League Championship Series, despite only having 3 hits. And the other one...
Pedraia would have been an easy one.
Well, that would have been one, too, because of the injury, yeah. It's sort of the easiest place to go. The other one is just... has evolved into one of the great weapons in the league. Adrian was a nobody for the first 10 years of his career. I thought it could have been that one.
Yeah, me too. That's what I was thinking. That's what I was thinking. When they first signed him, I'm like, where'd this guy come from?
Yeah, exactly.
So anyway, well, that sucks. I don't care about Steven Wright. Anyway, that Kraft.
Hey, you just said hit the sounder. We'll
have
questions later.
No. I'm glad you did it.
No, it's newsworthy. Yeah.
Oh,
all right, thank you.
I'm glad you did it. Absolutely, I'm glad you did it. But we'll just finish up on Kraft here. It's so if he's lawyered up like this to combat real charges and a real consequence, then I sort of get it. If he's got something heavy coming down, then he gets something heavy to defend himself. Fine. The misdemeanor? I mean, really. The misdemeanor. For the massage, he's bringing in this guy and these, and this is the attack he's taking. It's just the Patriot fan. I understand you can't beat us on the field. You can't beat us in the court. You hate us because you ain't us. We're going to fight everything and fine. Like I get you as a fan, you know, insert any other name other than Robert Kraft. And you tell me how you feel about that guy lawyering up like that to fight a misdemeanor when he clearly walked into the massage parlor and was getting a little something. It's just, so how do you feel about that?
Well, look, if this were Jerry Jones, what do you think Patriots fans would be saying?
Please. I mean, give me a break. And so is he doing it to get the charges dropped? I mean, I can't tell you how that lawyer in Palm Beach is going to, the DA, the prosecutor is going to act in Florida. But if I were that prosecutor in Florida and I saw how Kraft was doing it, I'd say, guys, then let's just go to trial. I have nothing to lose. I've lost before. I'll lose again. Not a problem. Then let's just go. There's nothing. I don't need to drop this. I don't need to settle it. Let's just go.
I wonder, maybe Murray's on to something, too, that the whole idea is we got to make sure that video does not smell the light of day.
That's what I think it is.
All that is his money. I mean, if the Krafts just outbid TMZ, don't they get the video? Like, isn't it as simple as that?
Okay, what's to prevent you from making another copy?
Right. Yeah.
Okay, but so then how do you leave it? So if someone's going to release it to TMZ, no court order is going to prevent that. No.
So you bring in the big guns to scare the bejesus out of anyone in that DA's office to say, look, if this ever sees the light of day, you're going to get sued into oblivion.
Okay. Maybe. I'll accept that.
That's what I think.
Maybe. That could be it. Yeah. I mean, that could, if I were Kraft, the thing I'd be most fearful of at this stage is the video.
No question.
Yeah, it's the video.
I mean, that thing will go viral immediately. It'll be talked about until, I mean, we still talk about the Pam Anderson sex tape.
Okay, to your phones right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Bass on 98.5, The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
All right, to your phones as promised. Celtics big win last night. Bruins big win last night. The Kraft stuff. Dave in Cumberland has been waiting for a Patriots-related item. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much. What do you got?
What's going on with the whole Gillette now trying to maybe take their name off the stadium at those calling to see what you guys thought about that, and what's ever the chances that they do a TB12 stadium.
Okay, so Gillette, related story to Kraft, Gillette's not trying to take their name off the stadium. There is according to the Herald, there's an online petition going around out there with 13,000 names. Is that considered a lot or not?
No.
I don't know. It feels like a Felger and Maz poll.
Yeah, like, it's a national pain in the ass group, so it's not just local. So yeah, that's a low number. Nothing's going to happen there.
For a national group, they've got 13,000 online signatures. Which to me feels like nothing.
It is.
Nothing. That's a good Felger and Maz poll. Again, exactly.
Online signatures?
Which isn't even a signature. Click a button or something? I don't know. Petitioning Gillette to drop the name from the stadium because of Robert. Which is silly. Like, there's silliness on all sides. So, I think Robert Kraft luring up like this is silly. I really do. If Florida prosecutors... if Florida prosecutors initially got silly, then I blame him for it. But now, if Kraft's going to lawyer up and do this, then I don't mind Florida prosecutors taking a hard line. Screw it. If this is what you're doing, then we'll just see if court date is so-and-so, and we'll see you then. I don't mind them doing that one bit now. If Kraft's going to go to war, fine, let's go to trial.
He's making this thing way bigger than it is.
But, you know, the Bart Scott's of the word, silly, not worth our time. The Gillette Stadium petition, silly, not worth our time. So this is how I feel about that. But the Kraft thing, my God, a misdemeanor. He brings in this lawyer who is just recently on the legal team for a Supreme Court justice. Like, really? Really? Paul in Vermont, Celtics Bruins, go.
Hey, guys. I. Kyrie Irving and basketball in general are a joke. Could you imagine if the Boston Bruins and Patrice Bergeron or Char gets in front of that microphone and says, oh, hey, these guys, I'm glad we finally came together and played as a team, but really it's all because of me. I'm glad they're finally looking to what I do and following my example and finally playing, stop being dingbats on the ice.
Paul, I'm with you. But the hockey to basketball comparison isn't fair.
Because it doesn't work.
It's just not the way hockey players carry themselves, and it is how basketball players carry themselves. So that's not fair. What is fair to compare Kyrie to other superstars and lead dogs and whatnot? And the question there is he worth all that me, me, my I? Because at the end of the day, LeBron is. And at the end of the day, Kevin Durant probably is. And at the end of the day, you know, we can argue who is and who isn't. Is Kyrie Irving worth that? That level of narcissism and pain in the assitude and that whole thing, is he worth it?
So my answer is no. But I also say, as a guy running a team, I would tolerate it.
You have to err on the side of talent.
Yes, you have to err on the side of talent in that league. You just have to. And again, it sucks, but that's what you have to do. So I'm not telling you he's as good as LeBron or Durant or Kawhi Leonard or any of those guys that can affect the game on both ends of the floor, because he's not. But he's damn good. I wish he had better values. That's all. Like, I wish that he could sit there like Tim Duncan and in talking about the team say, what we are trying to accomplish and what we need to do is get the best out of each other. Speak in the collective. I just wish he could do that.
Matt in Grafton on Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Matt.
Hello. Yeah, hi. The reason that Kraft's lawyering up and the reason that the DA's office would fight back is because whatever Kraft undermines in the case applies to all 200 of them. It's a precedent.
Okay. Matt, it depends. It depends. Is it the traffic stop? Because a lot of guys that got caught on traffic stops, but is one of Kraft's technicality the fact that Kraft was the passenger and not the driver? And those other 25 guys, were they passengers? You know, like, I don't know. Is it that? Is that what gets them off? They claim that...
How many of the people are on video?
Okay, so I think all of them are on video. The cop said on day one, we have all 25.
Okay.
And Kraft's included. So if they throw out the admissibility of the video, then that affects all 25. That's fine. Fine. I mean, if that's why prosecutors won't drop it, does Robert still need the guy that just argued for the Supreme Court justice? I mean, all he needs to do is plead no contest, accept responsibility, go in the diversion program, do a couple hours of community service, maybe sit in a class, and it's dropped. It's dropped. The conviction's dropped. The charges are dropped. The records, it doesn't matter if it's sealed because it's all out now, but it's over. So we can just do that too. I just don't see if he thinks that's going to influence the NFL owners, that he gets off on a technicality because he hired these lawyers, I don't know. If I'm a fellow NFL owner, don't just say, nice, Robert, good win in court. It still happened.
So do you think there's I have the problem of looking at things through my own eyes. Like, I don't have any other way to look at it, unfortunately. So I look at it and say, my mind's not going to change. Okay, he was in there. We all know what the deal was. This wasn't some sort of misunderstanding. Okay, now, am I offended by it? No, I'm not. I'm not offended by it. I live in the real world. So I understand what goes on out there. But is there a percentage of the population out there that looks at this and says he's getting set up, it didn't happen, it's not true, and Kraft wins those people back?
Okay, so he's...
I'm asking. I'm not telling you I believe that. I'm just asking.
Once again, he'll win over the Bobos. You don't need to win over the Bobos. You've already won them over. It's already there. Okay? So I still need to see the upside from him. Because to me, lowering up like this, to me, makes him look worse. Here's Murray's update. We're back with the Celtics reset.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mez, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
128-95, Celtics just have to get it across half court, and they can dribble it out. We have seen some remarkable Celtic performances on this floor the last few years. They have played Golden State better at Oracle Arena than anybody. But tonight, in what could be their final game ever at Oracle Arena, they score their biggest win here. So dominant, so impressive, so overwhelming, it's going to make people wonder if maybe it's not their final game at Oracle Arena. The final score, Boston 128, Golden State 95.
You buying in on that? You buying in on that? Tell you what, I don't think my cohorts are. Cohorts being Maz and Big Jim Murray.
Yeah, all of a sudden we're the bad guys.
Yeah, today you are. Murray writes in, nice win for the Celtics last night, but let's everybody calm down. Without even mentioning Klay Thompson's absence.
Firm but fair.
Besides Steph Curry, who looked mortal, who actually showed up for the Warriors last night?
Nobody.
Durant looked asleep.
Mm-hmm.
Boogie Cousins looked awkward. At best, let me interject. Boogie Cousins could ruin that team. Boogie Cousins looked awkward. Defense looked confused.
And terrible.
Offense looked mired in mud. It's as if Golden State decided that they just didn't want to play.
Mm-hmm.
Also, let's see how the Celts look tonight against a frisky Kings team fighting to make the playoffs before we start. And then I can't say that last thing that you said.
You could get it done at the Orchids of Asia Day Spa, though.
Well, yes. Harvey Keitel said something similar in Reservoir Dogs, I think. Do I have that right? So,
yes.
So let's see how the Celtics do tonight against a frisky Kings team before we start, dot, dot, dot.
Can we use euphemisms?
No, stop. It's enough.
I like this game.
We've given him enough.
There's so many great ways to say this without actually saying it.
Maz says,
for example.
And Maz said, on the Celtics, am I supposed to think everything's okay now? Because I don't. They played great. Whoop-de-doo. Need to see it way more before we get excited. Way, W-A-Y, all caps.
All caps.
Fact. They were never really challenged in this game. They might as well have been playing a CYO team. Warriors never really resisted. They made a run after it was 11-0 and a little one in the middle of the third, but that was it. Warriors didn't show up.
Do you know what CYO is?
Youth organization.
Christian youth organization.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
Very good. Thank you. So Y.
That's just, you have to.
Yes. No, I got it. I mean, I didn't know, but I know. Yes, Maz, we played at the JCC, okay?
Yeah, I'm just asking.
No.
I wasn't passing judgment.
He says, I liked the basketball. Great ball movement, sharing, etc. It was good stuff. But the finger pointing comes when there's frustration. Deep down, this team wants it to be easy. And yes, they play defense. Kyrie is still a pud. So that's his email.
That's pretty much the night in a nutshell, wouldn't you say?
So you guys aren't buying?
No. How could you? So look, again, let's just separate the two things. If you want to talk about last night, we can talk about last night. And last night was good. Again, the Warriors didn't put up a great fight. To me, it felt like the Warriors didn't want to be out there. So the Celtics completely dominated the game from the jump, by the way. Literally, the opening tap, 11-0. They were making shots. They were engaged right out of the gate. And they stayed that way pretty much the whole night. Again, the first time since 2006 that Golden State has gone wire to wire without ever leading in a game. Right? Like, think of that. That's unbelievable when you think about that. So the point being that Golden State has to be complicit in that sort of thing as well. Last night, good. Absolutely. Loved it, particularly from a basketball standpoint. It was a clinic, the way they moved the ball and cut to the basket, all of that. Does that mean they're going to show up and do the same thing tonight in Sacramento? Because I have my doubts.
No. Do you admit it could be a jumping off point?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah, that's sure. All.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, could they have had some sort of epiphany on the flight out there? Like, did guys finally sit down with one another and go, hey, look, I know you think I'm the devil. I'm really not.
Well, but this is what Kyrie said. So let's hear Kyrie. Jimmy, just the cut about the flight, please.
That long plane ride helped us out. I'll just say that. That long plane ride helped us out. You know, we needed it. We needed it. It was just, we were going to get to a point where we were just going to get tired of, you know, fighting each other, fighting, you know, the outside world, and it doesn't really matter. So we just want to come out here and just play basketball. This is our sanctuary, and we have to do everything to protect it. We can't let anybody infiltrate this. So.
That was a really nice comment by Kyrie, and I'm not even being sarcastic. There was no I, me, my in there. It was all about team, and whether he's overplaying the flight out or not, at least it was, this is our sanctuary. We have to defend, you know, like, fine, good.
Right, us against the world.
Good comment. You don't think that they could have flipped that switch or turned that corner last night?
Yeah, it's possible. Yeah, again, I never said it wasn't possible. Of course it's possible.
I know, I'm resetting.
But I also need a larger sample, a bigger body of work before I buy in. One game doesn't do it for me. I've seen them play a good game. Like that, maybe not like last night, and certainly not against that sort of opponent on the road, because there is no other opponent like Golden State, whether the Warriors showed up or not. But my biggest concern off of last night is this: the whole game went their way, literally from the beginning. It was a snowball rolling downhill.
That's a good point. You know, I made this point earlier against Toronto in Toronto a week ago, or was 2 weeks ago, whenever that Toronto game was. They were neck and neck in the first quarter and played a great first quarter. And then the Raptors went on a little run in the second, and the Celts just collapsed. They couldn't handle it.
We even got a game from that god-awful Wizards team on Friday.
Well, but Maz's point is, we never had that moment like they did against Toronto where all of a sudden they're up against it and they just folded.
Right.
So they were never challenged.
When you play a good team, the other team's going to have a run or two or five. It's going to happen through the course of a game where all of a sudden you're on your heels. The question then becomes, how do you respond? And if they get up by eight, are you going to start pointing fingers? Are you going to throw your hands up when Marcus Smart takes a bad three or Jaylen Brown charges instead of kicking the ball to the corner?
So it's not their fault they didn't face that last night. I think it's fair to say what happens when they face some adversity. I think that's fair. But last night, I'm not taking anything away from them. And could it be a turning point? Sure. It absolutely could. And I think it was important because I think there was some doubt whether they liked each other enough to have that kind of night. No one ever doubted the talent. So the talent came out. Now you see what they're capable of when it's all together. And they're capable of a lot. I mean, they really are. The talent is still there. The question was, did they care enough about each other and give enough of a crap about this season to actually even have one night like that? Turns out they do. Turns out they do care enough to have a night like that. So if they care enough to have one night like that, why can't they have a week like that? I mean, hell, this season's 16 games left. So they don't even have to do that all year, not even half the year, not even really a third of the year.
I mean, it's still 20% of the season.
Okay, so, but it's, you know, so if they did it for a night, they can do it for 17 more games and then the playoffs. They can. It's possible. It's possible that there was a rock bottom moment. They had a flight out here where they all got together. They cleared the air. Someone punched Gordon Hayward in the face. That woke him right up because I don't know if you thought he was capable of that sort of night. So whatever happened on that plane, whatever fist fight or elbow he took to the kisser, and I don't care if you have video or evidence that shows that he hurt that in a basketball game in a harmless situation, that doesn't feed my storyline. My storyline is part of this entire come to Jesus rock bottom moment and the big team meeting that someone actually cracked him in the face.
That could be another great Felger and Maz t-shirt. I don't care if you have video evidence.
I'm not worried about your facts. That's not my issue. It's much more interesting because I never noticed the black eye until he looks like Larry Bird last night. And all of a sudden, he's running down the floor. I'm like, huh? Ow. He also got clocked in the kisser. Someone must have woke him up with a little shot across the face.
I told you, I texted Murray in the first quarter when I saw it. And I went, hey, where did that black eye come from? When did that happen?
Of course. I didn't know he had a black eye.
I did. The same thing popped into my mind. I said someone slugged him on the flight.
Until he's like 7 of 8 from the floor and can't miss a thing. I'm like, huh. Finally, someone gave him a pop of thank God. Woke his ass right up. So Gordon Hayward might have been the biggest story in that whole game.
I bet you it was Tice. He looks like a badass.
There's your Celtics reset. Your call's on everything right after this.
You're listening to Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sports Hub.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub.
Terry Rozier, offensive end, finds Kyrie. Kyrie moves to Horford, standing on the three-point line, guarded by Bill. Looking for Kyrie, down the right side, pull up, throws to the right corner, Hayward three, got it!
Oh, damn, somebody just stepped on my little bitty baby toe.
A season of frustration is being unloaded on the world champions tonight. Ooh. A 29-point Boston lead.
I mean, it was fun tonight. That's the goal, is to try to build on it. You know, I understand it's one game. You know, you're going to have ups and downs in the season. So physically, I've been feeling pretty good for a little while. But, you know, mentally, it's just been a challenge.
So that's Gordon Hayward. That's what one good crack across the kisser will do for you. Wake you right up. To your calls, as promised, Matt in Brighton, waiting patiently to talk Celtics. Go ahead, Matt.
Yeah, hello.
Yes, you're on the air, Matt. Thanks for holding.
Okay, great. I just wanted to say that Marcus Smart had a great game last night, and his behind-the-back pass to Hayward was just unbelievable. If Larry Bird made that, it would have been an all-time highlight.
Okay, Matt, I'm just going to cut you there again. Thanks for hanging on.
Okay, because I'm rolling my eyes a little because, again, everybody gets geeked up about the Marcus Smart because he's a grinder. That's why.
But was a nice pass.
It was a nice pass. Again, whether it was behind the back or not, it was a nice pass. That play to me was as much about the cut as it was about the pass. And, again, to me, what the play demonstrated is their willingness to work together. And, honestly, it might have been the second most important pass of the possession. The first one was Kyrie passing the ball to Smart in the post because he had Steph Curry on him. So how many times, realistically, given the option, would you rather Kyrie keep the ball or feed it into Smart with Steph Curry on him?
I think I think when Smart backs down a smaller point guard, he's good.
Okay, but again, what would you rather have?
Backing it down to Smart against his undermatched point guard in the lane.
Okay, what I would tell you is I'd rather have the ball in Kyrie's hands, but him doing what he did is the right play.
Right, yes, that's what I'm saying.
So, but again, me personally, I'd rather Kyrie keep it. I don't trust Marcus Smart,
no.
Not to shoot.
Oh, backing someone down? He's good in that spot.
Okay, but Kyrie did it. Like, okay. To me...
So that's what you like.
Yeah, this to me is the evidence of the mentality change. Like... The right play, even if Kyrie's a way better player than Smart, the right play is to give Smart the ball there, play the mismatch, and see what spins off it. And they get a layup out of it. I'm not sure Kyrie makes that pass 2 days ago, let alone the day before.
Fair enough.
You know what I mean?
Yep. Ken in the car on Robert Kraft. Go ahead, Ken.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. You were talking about Robert Kraft lawyering up. I think it's probably because he's gotten a directive from the NFL saying, hey, if you accept the misdemeanor or even plead no contest, no locatendre, there's going to be sanctions. You need to get this thing dismissed and out of the public eye, or else there's sanctions coming. Thank you.
Okay, Ken. It's been clear. It's been pointed out a million times. It's in black and white. The league has said point blank that being found not guilty or not even being brought up on charges is immaterial. If you bring embarrassment to the league and act outside of our conduct policy, whether you're guilty or innocent or charges are dropped or not, you will face punishment.
Correct. It doesn't have to be a criminal matter.
So, you know, if you're telling me they dismiss the charges out of hand, bad investigation, bad police work, whatever, will Robert get a lighter sentence? Maybe. I mean, maybe the league looks at it and says, okay, charges were dismissed. Instead of 10 games, here's 6. Or instead of 6, here's 4. I mean, maybe. Maybe. I tend to doubt it because the act is the act. And okay, but is that reduced sentence from the league worth the potential of the video getting out or actually going to trial and the cameras coming on in the courthouse and now this is all aired in open court? And I don't even think it's worth the optics of him luring up like this. I think the optics of him luring up like this for just a misdemeanor, if there's something else coming down the pike, then this is different. And he's got to defend himself against heavy charges, then that's different. But if he's just luring up like this for the freaking misdemeanor, I think this looks bad enough as it is.
Yeah, I can't imagine that the league's penalty has anything to do with this. Now, if you wanted to tell me that Kraft is worried about legacy, no, I think Hall the league, of Fame.
Well, I think they have designs on him being there opening night, that they dismiss the charges and the league says forget about it. The charges were dismissed. I think they have dreams about, they have, that's the ultimate goal.
You mean the Kraft?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm telling you that I don't think it matters to the league
right.
that whether there's a criminal charge here or not.
Right. Like, no, so the league punishment matters to Kraft.
Right.
You're saying it from the league standpoint, it doesn't matter.
Correct. Yeah. It's. I just think the league says it doesn't matter. You were there. It's on video. End of story. You made us look bad. Again, I go back to the Ezekiel Elliott thing when he pulled down the girl's shirt on the rooftop.
Right.
Like, he was never charged with anything. He still gets suspended.
We've got Dave in Waltham on Kyrie Irving. Yes, Dave.
Hey, what's up, guys? I'll just make my point and hang up. So, I know you said hockey is different than basketball, but, you know, I watched the Bergeron at 1000, and there's a segment where Jack Edwards says, you know, there's a thing about how they get her, try to get, you know, Patrice Bergeron to, you know, about talk about himself, and he'll never say I. He always says we. So, you know, but he's a once-in-a-lifetime best two-way player in the league, in my opinion. But, you know, that we don't need Kyrie after this season. Everything he says is superficial when it's not, you know, the opposite. And Brad Stevens can't coach him. He's not the type to, you know, stand up and yell at them. He's too calm, and, you know, they just the chance of them making another play. I mean, getting to the finals is the same chance percentage as the Lakers making the playoffs.
All right, so no, it's not. Yep. So the Lakers are 0%. I don't agree with that last point. You have a better chance than that. The thing about Kyrie, okay? So I asked you, could last night be a turning point for the Celtics? I asked you, could last night be a turning point for Kyrie on the floor, being more of a team player?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So I agree, but on that one, I'm telling you that for a short time it can be. I believe Kyrie's always going to revert to the LeBron thing because that turns out that's who he is. And so if Kyrie puts a sock in it and plays team basketball and plays hard down the stretch, that it's just a matter of time until something goes away that he doesn't like and reverts. I have no faith that this is the new normal for Kyrie long term. I think he's going to have these ups and downs and these ebbs and flows. And when he's not happy and it's not going his way, he's going to be a giant pain in the ass.
So
and that's going to be his way for his entire career.
So I feel that way about the whole team. I mean, as a collective. But if you're telling me he's the linchpin of it, then fine. I mean, again, he's the
which scares me hitching my wagon to him.
Well,
because you're going to have, you thought this year was bad. Get used to it. It's going to be like this almost every year.
Yeah. So the hope is that he somehow is actually different on the inside and that LeBron has corrupted him and that
we can still save him.
Right. Or that over time he'll actually come back to being something a little bit more human than what LeBron is. Or that the dynamic on the team over the years changes and there's someone else around him that keeps him in check. Like, and I don't know whether the second thing is possible.
Well, so even when he does the right things last night on the floor, and I know I'm being a hypocrite because yesterday I said I really care how he plays, and he played well last night. He played like a team basketball player last night. So I'm being a hypocrite because I'm now going to focus on what he said after the game because, oh, it is insufferable. I was just reminded of it. Even in good nights, he is painful. And we'll tell you what we're talking about right after Murray's 90-second update, no commercials.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.